This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
As we prepare to hear God's word today in scripture and song, let's first listen to a beautiful Taizé chant called Magnificat. Its words are Magnificat anima mea Dominum, which in Latin means, My soul magnifies the Lord. These are Mary's words. This is Mary's song.
Magnificat, magnificat, magnificat anima mea.
My mother died last year. She was 95, and we all miss her so much. Mary and Elizabeth were her Christian names, and yet throughout her life she was always known to family and close friends as either Bess or Liz. It's such a shame that she was never able to own her Christian names and be proud of them, for these are the names of the two most blessed women in the New Testament, who both appear in our reading today. In the Bible, Elizabeth's news comes before Mary's. She was the mother of John the Baptist. She must have been delighted when her husband Zechariah communicated to her that an angel had been sent by God to announce that she, his wife, would soon give birth to a son who would be a messenger of God. What joyful news this must have been for this childless couple. You see, Elizabeth was well past childbearing age. So not only had their prayers been answered, but the stigma that surrounded a woman who was barren was taken away at long last. And what an honour God was to bestow upon their son. For the angel Gabriel had told Zechariah that this child, John, would bring back many Israelites to God. He would be possessed by the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah, and would prepare the people's hearts and make them ready for the arrival of the Messiah. And all this happened in time, just as the angel had said. Here's a beautiful hymn sung by the ethereal voice of Enya. It captures for me the mystery and wonder of the coming of the Messiah. Part of it's in Latin, and it expresses a people's longing for God to fulfil his promise to live among them. Here is O come Emmanuel.
Oh, God.
Oh, and even
Today we also look at the character of Mary, who in our reading today comes hurrying to the home of Elizabeth, who was a relative of hers. Mary has also been visited by the angel Gabriel and has some amazing news to share. Christians call the angel's visit to Mary the Annunciation. In Mary's vision, the angel has told her that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and she had to call him Jesus. The angel also told Mary that her child would be Son of the Most High, and that God would give him the throne of his father David, and he would reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and that his kingdom will never end. Alongside the angel's word came the revelation that Elizabeth was also going to have a child in her old age, and that she was in her sixth month. Mary hadn't known this at the time. Let's listen to one of the loveliest recordings of the angel Gabriel. It really is exquisite, and it's sung to us by Libra. Here's the angel Gabriel. Having set the scene now, we come to the first part of our reading today from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, where Mary comes hurrying to Elizabeth's home. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." So why was Mary in such a hurry to get to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah so soon after the angel's appearance to her? The angel had mentioned that Elizabeth was miraculously pregnant too, so was Mary seeking confirmation of her vision, or was she wondering whether it had all been some vivid dream? Did she also reason that if Elizabeth had had a similar experience, then she of all people would believe her own story? According to Delia Smith in her book A Feast for Advent, she says, "If I may be allowed to make a personal interpretation here, I like to think that after the Annunciation, Mary believed in what God could do and agreed to surrender herself. But when God provided her with a friend with a similar experience, suddenly everything was confirmed. Belief blossomed into certainty. They both knew." And so Elizabeth greeted Mary with these words, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy on hearing the voice of Mary, and perhaps sensing the presence of the Christ child. Something very strange and wonderful is heralded here. John, in the womb, announces the arrival of the Messiah long before God has called him to do so in the wilderness. Here is Andrea Bocelli singing Ave Maria, one of the most recognisable and well-known prayers throughout the Western world. Such a beautiful hymn, very moving. I also wonder if Mary fully understood the implications of what the angel had told her. Did she ask herself what kind of greatness would be bestowed upon her son? Would her baby really be the Son of the Most High? If so, what kind of power would he have? She must have had so many more questions to ask the angel, but now that he had disappeared, who better to answer her questions than Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband? After all, he was of priestly descent, educated in matters of the law and the sayings of the prophet, and he must have been well aware of what would be in store for such a child as this. It seems to me that at this point, Mary would have had no idea of the real implications of her yes to God. Similarly, we have no idea what God has in store for us, what he will achieve through us, when we too are obedient and we say yes to him. Here's a song, a beautiful song called Mary, Did You Know?, sung here by Pentatonix.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know?
On hearing Elizabeth's words affirming her as blessed and seeing for herself that Elizabeth was with child, just as the angel had said. Then Mary, too, is filled with radiant joy and bursts into words of praise reminiscent of a song by a woman called Hannah in an Old Testament story in the first book of Samuel, too. You might want to look that one up. We call Mary's words the Magnificat, just like our opening song, but here is the full version of it in the second part of our reading today, continuing to read at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Here's another song entitled Magnificat, this time sung by Michael John Talbot.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exalts in God my Savior. For he has looked with mercy on my lowliness, and my name will be forever exalted. For the Mighty God has done great things for me, and his mercy will reach from age to age.
The words that Mary utters in this reading are quite extraordinary and read like some political manifesto. Her words have been described as revolutionary. Having thanked God for bestowing honour upon such a lowly handmaiden such as herself, Mary goes on to speak of the very nature of God and his ways. Firstly, God scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Jesus once told a story of a man who was religious, wealthy and righteous, who went into the temple to pray but came out empty. His prayers had been all about himself, whereas a tax collector, a sinner, poor in spirit and in desperate need of forgiveness, humbled himself, prayed for God's mercy and found forgiveness. There is no room for pride in God's kingdom. Secondly, God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. I don't suppose this phrase applies to rulers only. Any one person, any nation, that would set themselves up as more superior, more important than anyone else, and in need of being waited upon and obeyed, has to be heading for a fall. But those that are humble and patient and peace-loving will find themselves lifted up and honoured by God in time. If you ever get the chance to visit the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, which marks the birthplace of Christ, you will find you must enter the church by the door of humility, a low-lying door through which you must stoop to enter. I believe it was built this way to repel invaders, but it's a visual aid to us all, to enter a sacred space humbly, a reminder not to think too highly of ourselves. When we realise the sacrifice Jesus made for us all, we can no longer regard anyone as being beneath us. Thirdly, God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. Therefore, it begs the question today, is it right for those of us who have so much to be so extravagant and wasteful, while so many others in the world have so little? Is it right at this time of the year to be self-indulgent and careless with money? Nicky Gumbel, in his book Why Christmas, says, there is a danger of overspending, buying presents that others don't need, with money they have not got. We also think of the emptiness of Ebenezer Scrooge and compare him with Bob Cratchit in Dickens' Christmas Carol. Scrooge, who has great wealth, leads a frugal, lonely and miserable existence despite all his money. He's proud and powerful, but shuts everyone else out of his life and despises love. On the other hand, Bob Cratchit, his clerk, is poor, but rich in so many other ways, in friendships, in family life, and in counting his many blessings. Let's now listen to the hymn, Tell Out My Soul, coming to us from St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast. It's a Christian hymn which paraphrases the Magnificat, Mary's song. Mary made herself available, and she accepted the task given to her by God. To the angel she said these words, I am the Lord's servant. As you have spoken, so be it. Let this be our prayer today. There are times when we find ourselves in despair, particularly when we don't enjoy good health. We begin wondering whether God really cares for us and whether he really has a purpose for our lives. In every situation, in every circumstance, let us give our all to God anyway, even when there seems to be a deafening silence in the heavens. My final song is called Giving It All to You from my album of the same name. The last verse has this to say, help me to say my yes to you. Help me to give my all. Help me not to be afraid. Help me just to listen when you call. Oh Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Please tune in to part one of our special Christmas morning programme this coming Saturday at 7 a.m. and for part two on Boxing Day at 8 a.m. the following morning. If you've got young children, you're bound to be up nice and early then, and there'll be some wonderful Christmas music for you and your families to listen to. So now it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and a big thank you to Andrew Ridgwick, my technician, for all his support this year and for his technical skills in producing these programmes. Andrew, do you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Every blessing to you all. Bye for now.
All my endless imaginings, the worries that
Say my